So this morning, Harmony Faith Community, we continue our current sermon series, which is called The Gifts of Imperfection, and it's based on the same title book by best-selling author Dr. Brené Brown. And this is an inspiring work, motivational guide, if you will, to wholehearted living, releasing our definitions of what we called an imperfect life. And what we're doing is that we're engaging with this world from a place of worthiness. So as a reminder, what we're doing is we're focusing on 10 guidelines, 10 guideposts on the power of wholehearted living, which are: 1, practice authenticity; 2, find self-compassion; 3, cultivate resilience; 4, build gratitude and joy; 5, trust your institutional faith; and then 6, foster creativity; 7, protect your play and rest; and then 8, don't fear calm and stillness; 9, pursue meaningful work; and then 10, laugh, sing, and dance. So, by the way, if you're interested in learning more or assessing your strengths, opportunities for growth, as well as, hey, how can I be strong on this wholehearted journey, I encourage you to check out the Wholehearted Inventory, which is in which ties and aligns with the 10 guideposts, and this is in Harmony's weekly e-newsletter with a link. So as I mentioned last week during this series throughout July, you're going to hear from a variety of voices here within the Harmony Faith Community, and it is truly a blessing to receive the breadth and richness of other perspectives. And so last week, Eric Feltis and I centered on the first two guideposts, which were practicing authenticity and finding self-compassion. And I have already received feedback and what was shared that provided plenty of conversation as well as further discussion and reflection. And that's exactly what we wanted to happen. Well, this morning, we shift our focus to the third and fourth guideposts of the wholehearted journey for living. And so without further ado, let us give a Harmony welcome to our own awesome Shauna Carroll.
Thanks, guys. So I have guidepost number 3, which is cultivating a resilient spirit and letting go of numbing and powerlessness. When I was thinking about what I was going to say today, especially about cultivating a resilient spirit, I was asking myself, am I resilient? My inner voice was like, I don't really know if you are resilient. I mean, you still haven't gotten over not getting a Teddy Ruxpin when you were 6. Right? He was cool. I just aged myself. Great. when I asked my brain if, and it answered questions, and it answers me back with a question, that's my brain's way of saying no without hurting my feelings. What my brain was really saying is no. I mean, these last few years have been really hard, and can you tell me that you've actually handled them well? You know, sometimes your brain doesn't always tell you the exact truth. Sometimes your brain lies to you. Okay, your brain is hardwired to protect you at all costs. Its main function is to keep you safe. And in the core of your brain, you have a really primitive control system. Despite all of our human learning and advancements, your brain is really just the same brain as a lizard. Okay, it's just a lizard that's able to do some TikTok dances sometimes. So whenever I ask my lizard brain, AKA Liz for short, if I'm resilient, it takes that through its filter and looks at the idea of what society tells us resilient is. It also does not want me to ask it to be resilient because it doesn't want to be in a position where it has to be resilient. So when I ask Liz, am I resilient? Liz, keeping me safe, immediately says, no, go hide under a rock. So most times I must talk to Liz to understand where she's coming from and to show her that she might possibly be wrong. As many of you know, and many of you might not know, my husband got sick with COVID early on in 2020. He got long hauler sick. And he was on oxygen at home for 8 months. So I spent most of 2020 isolated in my apartment, on lockdown, with my husband sleeping most of the time and our families 2,000 miles away. I was scared and alone and unsure about his health, which kept me on high alert all of the time. And his illness lasted well into 2021. And my mental health completely tanked. I went into lizard brain survival mode as I navigated the ever-changing workplace, our refrigerator breaking, our heater breaking, and just on top of that, so many other little things just being a problem. And then I got a really bad haircut. So in October, when my mom was visiting me, we were out together, and a truck hit my brand new car. And I felt like my car was my only winning situation in the past 2 years, and someone had just destroyed that too. And that was it for me. I immediately broke down. I was so distraught that I couldn't literally produce words. I was on the phone with the police, and I couldn't physically say anything. I just sobbed. I thank God every day that my mom was there, because I wouldn't have gotten through that without her. I don't know what would have happened. So Brené Brown says that through her research, she's learned that resilient people usually have 5, what she calls protective factors, that give them the ability to bounce back. They are resourceful and have good problem-solving skills. They're more likely to seek help. They hold the belief that they can do something that will help them to manage their feelings and cope. They have social support available to them, and they are connected with others such as family or friends. Well, friends, I can tell you that when I'm overwhelmed, I'm not really good at most of these. Because a lot of these things are connection-based. And like I said, I had felt alone. And when I feel alone, I feel invisible. And I isolate even more. And then I feel like I don't matter. And that's hard for me to say, but I'm sure that I'm not the only one who has been there. So all of those were out except one. The only one that I'm able to access when I'm going through adversity is number 3. Our faith teaches us that with God, we can do something to help manage our feelings and cope. I know that with God, we are always in the light, even when we feel so far from it. And that cracking let some of that light in. I knew that I needed to lean into my faith, and that led me to asking for help, which was extraordinarily hard, as I'm sure that it's hard for some of you. It is no surprise that Brené also says that spirituality is the foundation of those protective factors, that with faith, we recognize and celebrate our connectedness to a power greater than ourselves, and that connectedness is grounded in love and compassion. We as a faith community inherently know that, right? As the scripture says, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through him, and we boast in the hope of God's glory. I know that grace is given through the love of God, and God's love gives me hope, perspective, and meaning in my life. This gives a foundation and a jumping-off place to cultivate those tools to practice resiliency. I have a therapist and a coach. Yes, I have 2. As Eric said last week, I needed all the compassion, right? I needed 2 people to suffer with, right? So we work on these tools to help my connectedness to my physical and spiritual, so that those spiritual and physical worlds can thrive. The first thing we work on is cultivating hope. She made me set attainable goals, like even just getting up in the morning and getting a shower. Okay, we practice the idea that if I offered myself grace and forgiveness and love, that would take the edge off the powerlessness that I felt I had dug myself into. Powerlessness is a terrible feeling. I knew that this work we were doing was going to be difficult, but there is nothing more difficult than feeling like you cannot affect change in your own life. We spoke of gratitude for what was going right, and we worked on finding a positive focus every day, even when things were hard, as there will always be roadblocks. The hope is what carries us around them. We worked on practicing critical awareness. Remember when I said that Liz doesn't always tell the whole truth? Well, we worked on being super aware of what Liz says to make sure that what she tells me is backed with evidence. Liz can be a bully. There have been moments in the past 2 years when I would oversleep, sometimes sleeping all day. I look back now and know that I was exhausted. Yet I would get up late and say to myself, I can't believe you slept that long. Why are you so tired? You aren't even doing anything. You are so lazy. Anyone feel like they have that same kind of bullying self-talk? Yeah. Has it ever been helpful in making you feel better? No, it doesn't work. You just feel worse about yourself. Like, how can you cultivate hope by beating yourself up? And more importantly, I looked at whether or not it was true. I was doing so much to just survive and take care of my husband and myself and my home and my job and staying safe and all of the things that everybody does on a daily basis. We are never doing nothing. I had to redirect Liz and handle her with so much compassion and grace and tell her that it's okay that we took a rest so that we can recharge and heal. And I had to release the fear that I was not enough and that I could love myself with the same love as God loves all of us. Compassionate, graceful, all-encompassing love. And finally, we had to work on our feeling our feelings. I know what you're thinking, don't we always feel our feelings? But no, we actually don't. We do all kinds of things to numb those feelings, from mindless TV watching, to shopping, to gambling, to sometimes drinking and using drugs. When I come home from work and I'm tired and exhausted, I like to mindlessly scroll through Facebook and TikTok. Okay? When somebody at work hurts my feelings, I just kind of push those feelings down and keep my head down and keep going, because isn't that what we're supposed to do, right? I mean, nobody wants to see emotional Shauna. But here's what happens. When you numb yourself, you stay stuck. Feeling our feelings doesn't feel great, trust me. But when you numb and prolong those feelings, you actually feel them for longer. And you don't really feel them until you decide to actually feel them. And when you numb the bad feelings, you numb the good ones too, because your brain can't pick and choose what it numbs. And when you don't feel the hurt, then you have no reference for the good, and you dull your experiences. But I don't know about you, but I want to get all the joy I can get my feelings on, you know? Now, after thinking about these three practices, cultivating hope, practicing critical awareness, and feeling my feelings, I can safely tell Liz that yes, I am indeed resilient. We are all built to be resilient. And I'm not in any danger, but actually I'm striving to be better. I was scared, like the evidence, here's some evidence now. I set a goal to be here. I was nervous to do it, but I felt those feelings and moved through those feelings. And I have awareness that I'm going to continue to be in a clearly more connected place than I was in October, right? I mean, I was actually able to get out words today, so that's a win, right? Cultivating a resilient spirit is an ongoing practice, not a destination. And I know that not every day is going to be easy. And some days I won't feel like getting out of bed. And that, like my coach says to me and her coach says to her, it's not a problem. I know that to practice cultivating a resilient spirit, I have to check in with those numbing behaviors, find hope, express my emotions, and critically recognize when Liz tells me things that deter me from my highest self. I pray that if you are struggling, that you are able to see even the smallest beam of light that God is surrounding you with. I know that resilience is an ongoing journey, and I will continue to work to give myself grace and faith and boast in the hope of God's glory. And I hope you will too. Thank you, guys.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Trust in
Thank you, Gaddison. And thank you, Shauna, again, for cultivating resilience. Before I start on my portion, when I saw the cultivating resilience part in the guidepost, I immediately thought of Shauna. Having been part of the journey with her and Justin and just experiencing that, and so I thought it would be powerful for her to share that with all of us. I think sometimes it's important that we do that sharing because it lets it out. And that's going to tie in a little bit into my guidepost. So here we go. So as we dive into, and in fact, I have to get my tea today. Sorry, I'm just going to come over here, grab my cup of tea just in case I need to have a drink. So these 10 guideposts today, this month, every one of them, I want you to know every one of these guideposts is about making a choice. We are making a choice. And so it's with an understanding that cultivating a wholehearted life is not trying to reach a destination, like Shauna mentioned. It is not about reaching a destination. It is about the journey. It is about being in the knowing that we are headed in the right direction. That's important. So as we now move into the fourth guideposts for wholehearted living, we place our attention on building joy and gratitude. Gratitude and joy. And with these two words, as I was reflecting on these, I believe there's a tight connection between them. Now, yes, they do have similarities, but I believe that they are look at what I did with my hands. They're intertwined with power, and there is a deep spiritual connection with joy and gratitude, as well as a vulnerability. A vulnerability is included in the mix. When we live in and we live out with gratitude and joy. We are not only internally affected and impacted. What it happens, and here we go, just as crucial, it exudes out of us. It has to go out of us. This, friends, is when our hearts and ourselves become whole. And it reminds me of a quote by Adela St. Rogers that I came across, that joy is a light that fills you with faith, love, and hope. I want you to notice, though, I've spoken of the effect of joy and gratitude. And you might ask, and here we go for the swig of tea. This is what happens when your sinuses are going haywire. So you may ask, all right, well, what about happiness? What about happiness? Because you notice I didn't say anything about happiness, did I? What about happiness? Is happiness joy? And, you know, I was reflecting on that, and I went, well, yeah, you know, there are both words have similarities here, happiness and joy. But in the big picture, what I see is joy as being a step beyond happiness. Why do I think that? Well, happiness is more temporary. Happiness is fleeting. Now, for sure, it's positively felt, happiness. However, nonetheless, what happiness doesn't do is it doesn't stick around. It doesn't stick around for meaningful and lasting impact. It's tied more emotionally to circumstances. If you think about it, happiness is tied more emotionally to circumstances. That ebb and flow, it come and they go. For example, right here we go. I'm drinking a nice cup of tea. It makes me happy, right? Drinking grande cafe mocha. Actually, the kind of tea that I really like is an English breakfast tea with two lumps of sugar and a dash of milk. And that makes me happy in the moment. In the moment. What about on a walk, I love to take in the warm rays of sunshine and feel the breeze as I go along. And what it does is it makes me feel glad in that moment. Or watching a movie, dressing up, maybe enjoying a delicious meal, and that brings me pleasure in that moment. Joy, though, is tied more to our hearts by spirit and gratitude. It has more intensity. It's interconnected. And this is key. This really is key, the interconnectedness. Joy is selfless rather than specifically seeking one's pleasure. Indeed, joyful experiences are deep and they can be memorable. And so here's an example of this. And in fact, it's funny, I was telling Preston, I was thinking of him and Christy this week. I think you can relate to this. Parents online, anybody that's online, so parents watching online, anyone listening on the guidepost, I'm specifically saying this to parents. I bet you can remember the first time you held your baby's hand, right? And that's not just a memory. It's held in your heart and your mind. You have carried that. That, friends, is joy. That's joy. Last Sunday, you may have seen me during the children's moment. Here I was, as I was in the children's moment. I was over here, and Spirit, I don't know what it was inside me, but Spirit just led me to say, hey, you know, kids, come up. So Olivia came up. There was Wesley and Nori. They came up. They were around me, and this was during the joy box moment. Woo! But I got to tell you, if you were to ask me to remember what I said to you, I don't have a clue. I do not have a clue. What I do remember, though, is those children being around me, and something happened in my heart. Something happened in my heart. It became a memory that kept circling within me, and I carried that all week. I can continue to carry that with me. It is there. And the reason why it's there, there's an interconnectedness, because it aligns with the joy that I have for this affirming faith community called Harmony Toluca Lake. The interconnectedness, you see. Joyous experiences, though, they're hard to describe. It's like, hey, I got a lot of joy there, but me trying to explain that to you and how that feels, it's almost impossible. Nonetheless, with that experience, I will say that it's spiritual. It is spiritual. I believe therein is Christ as present. Christ is present as I am present and as you are present. The joy we feel has little to do with the circumstances of our lives and everything to do with the focus of our lives. As Brené states in her book, she believes a joyful life is made up of joyful moments that are gracefully strung together by trust and gratitude and inspiration and faith. Do you ever feel like you're chasing after happiness? Do you ever feel like you're chasing after these extraordinary moments? Because the extraordinary moments, it's in the extraordinary moment that, hey, that's when I'm going to have some joy, right? Does it ever feel that at all? But sadly, I got to tell you, what's underlying this chase is a fear factor. It is a manifestation of scarcity. And I'm going to ask then, where's God in this chase? And sadly, the answer is God has been left out. God has been left outside. So rather than chasing after, what if we take a step back and realize that in the ordinary, everyday moments, those are sacred. Like hearing the sound of a child's laughter, right? That brings up joy. And it's so special. What about an unexpected rainbow that you see in the sky? Or those puffy clouds, right? Or having a heartfelt conversation with someone who is near and dear to you. You see, we don't need the big show. We don't need to have that special day to find joy in our lives. Folks, nothing is too small to be thankful for. Nothing. There is joy to be found in almost every day in our lives if we simply notice it and accept it. You take it in, and in that realization, when you're taking it in, there is peace, which ties into spirit and gratitude. and a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as Romans 5:1 states. Faith community, what this does is it takes intentionality on our part, making a choice. Joy is what happens to us when we allow ourselves to recognize how good things really are. And I believe that joy and gratitude, peace with the Creator, the love of the divine are found when we choose and allow ourselves to be open to these experiences every day in our lives, while we're also building and maintaining and sustaining a relationship with the divine Creator, Spirit God. Okay, so what are some ways in which we can incorporate and cultivate practices of gratitude and joy in our everyday lives? So I'm going to give us five. So make a list, and it's not just a list, it's a joy list. Yeah, woo, right? So I'm going to ask this, what brings you joy? What brings you joy? Because that may seem like a simple enough question, but do you ever ask it? Do you ever ask what brings you joy? Because when was the last time you actually thought about it? The pandemic, friends, has caused so much shifting in our lives. And I bet, just like you heard with Shauna, that there's been so many shifts in the things that also bring you joy. Second one is be present. Stay in the present. That's not be present. Stay in the present. Practice focusing on the small moments, those small moments, those moments that, you know, spark within you joy. And it's like maybe for you, I thought of Jason Hecht and Thea. So bear with me on this. It's just a moment of planting flowers in the garden or potting plants. I guarantee there was joy in that moment. What about doing yoga or meditating, which positively affects your body, soul, and spirit? But maybe it's stepping outside. Maybe it's stepping outside to feel the grass underneath your feet, or taking a long walk, or going hiking or biking, which I know Larry High loves to do, right? That brings him some joy. Journaling, even washing dishes or folding laundry. I give you an example. Is this week, too, I took the communion cloths, I washed them, and then I took them out of the dryer, and then I ironed them. During that whole process of ironing, I know the pastor actually ironing communion cloths. But, you know, I was thinking of one Korean. I went, he's not going to like all those creases on that communion cloth. Got to have it, you know. But during that process, you see, I allowed myself to be in the moment, to be present and stay in that moment. And while I was ironing, I was praying. I was praying for all of you, this faith community. So what you're doing in these instances is you're intentionally unplugging to connect yourself and focus on the present. You're creating a quiet space in which allows yourself to hear your thoughts, to let go of stress, to let spirit in, as well as to nurture your soul. The other one is give back. Now, the secret to life, friends, is in the giving. That is the secret to life, is in the giving. When we choose to make a difference in the lives of others and then follow through with that choice, right, making a choice, it brings meaning to our lives while also reminding us of everything that we have. And that's why we learn how to have more joy in your life, that it always involves giving back. When you do this, you start, and I believe you start, but also you do feel purpose as well as joy. And what it does is it builds, and then what you're building, it then starts and it passes along to others, and then they want to join in the giving back, the volunteering, being even kinder, and it leads to an overall well-being. You see how that spirit just starts building and building and building. And plus, we start living out the commandment that Jesus told us and gave to us. Amen? The fourth thing is find gratitude in the challenges. Interesting, right? Find gratitude in the challenges. So we heard earlier today in the reading from Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, that trouble produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character it also produces hope. Well, gratitude isn't only of being thankful for all those positive experiences that we have in our lives. If we reflect upon and we dig deep into the difficult and challenging situations that we've gone through, those can also help us nail down what it exactly it is that we are thankful for. Ask Shauna, right? Because also those challenges help shape us. They shape us. Endurance, character, and hope, friends, in their staying power, this is when we have an abiding sense of the presence of God that can be developed and for us to become all that the Creator has made us to be. And the fifth one is be yourself. Be yourself. Choose authenticity. And this is a through line, friends, all the way for all these guideposts is choose authenticity. Be yourself. So if you need to go back and listen to what I said last week about practicing authenticity, great. Listen to that portion of the message. Choose your authentic self, and that will help you cultivate joy. So Harmony Faith Community, as Alan Leung comes forward and makes his way to share joy with us, I challenge all of us to choose joy. Choose joy. Choose joy each and every day. And as novelist and poet Robert Louis Stevenson once wrote, find out where joy resides and give it a voice far beyond singing. For to miss joy is to miss all. Let us find the joy and give it a voice far beyond singing. Amen. Amen.